glorified AA meeting spread over 28 days. Remember, no medical services are on offer, and the applicants have no previous experience in running any facility of this nature. Even the health, well-being and safety of clients has not been addressed adequately. Many clients may present with serious medical, mental health or behavioural problems, and this therefore is a development with major risks. It remains an unfortunate fact of life that the location of a lot of important facilities are contentious. They'll likely affect someone's local amenity. But the precedence has been long set. For example, the location of correctional facilities so as to minimise the real or perceived harm they may confer on their potential neighbours. Council planners see fit to approve this commercial development among neighbours with young families, where imagined risks and stress and related health issues are important matters of concern. I've one paragraph. The developers seem to have selected this location for their own convenience, not that of their clientele. In a field where 50% would be considered an excellent recovery rate, a semi-rural location, as per their own American model, would offer their clients a greater chance of success. So I really ask the panel to act in a way of checks and balances. I don't think council have done a very good job in the planning department, and it's your opportunity to sort of prevent a great injustice occurring were this development to be allowed. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. No question. There is a question.
I think I heard you say that there were no conditions proposed. Is that?
Oh, well, I think that was probably a rather sweeping statement on my part.
Pretty sweeping.
But we were only given 6 days to prepare for this meeting today. Mm. I think that some of the procedures surrounding the whole affair have been lacking a real concern for the input of residents and our interest in the matter. I'm referring to Council Planning Department here.
I think Mr. Hawke's making the point that there are a number of conditions that are recommended and under consideration. There are 86 conditions. So
Probably not covering
sure
all the matters
misunderstanding
that concern us. Thank you.
Thank you for your help,
my
Mr. Clark. I want to thank all of those residents and people who have a concern about this development, because that's the end of the people who have been listed to speak on that account. And the panel will certainly take account of the submissions that have been made, despite the misgivings and foreboding that some of you have expressed. The panel is comprised of experts who are quite independent of any local interest or any perception about of a connection with the council itself. Now, we move in now to the people who are going to speak on behalf of the applicant. And the first person that I ask in that respect is John Malone from Steps Retreat.
Okay, thank you for this opportunity to speak today. My name's John Malone. I'll be the CEO of the Sydney Retreat, which we call a recovery centre for alcoholics and addicts. The Sydney Retreat is a not-for-profit charity that relies solely on donations and does not obtain any government funding. Clients will pay a $6,000 fee for their 30-day stay to fund the day-to-day operations. The money for any other capital works will have to be fundraised. The founding principle of the Sydney Retreat is the belief that if we provide a safe, supportive and dignified environment, accurate information about the problem and solution to addiction, and a solid bridge to Alcoholics Anonymous, people will recover. As I mentioned, I'm the CEO. I was formerly the co-founder and managing director of a telecommunications company called Visibill. And prior to that, I was a practicing alcoholic and heroin addict. I was 39 when I got sober. At the time, I was married with 3 children. My wife was about to leave me, and I had just lost a very well-paid job as a corporate salesperson. We didn't own a house. We couldn't pay the rent. I was broke, defeated, and going nowhere. I found recovery through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and my life has been turned around these past 27 years. My wife and I are still happily married. My kids have grown up. I have grandchildren. I've been blessed with some success in business. Now, none of this would have been available to me if I hadn't got sober. Most of the other board members of the Sydney Retreat have stories similar to mine. They also suffered from addiction, but recovered and had successful lives in business and the professions. All of us just want to help people do the same. The Sydney Retreat follows the model used at the retreat in Minneapolis, where over 20,000 men and women have been through the program. I've been to the facility there. It is a beautiful, spiritual place. I did ask the CEO the question, how many incidents of violence have you had amongst your 20,000 clients and 20 years of operation? Not one. Not one neighbour has been hit, nothing has been stolen, and there's been no fights amongst the residents. It's possible, I agree, but so far that hasn't happened. The clients that we expect to have will be men and women just like me 27 years ago. They'll be salespeople, tradespeople, housewives, lawyers, shop assistants, people in the throes of addiction wanting to get better. I want the Sydney Retreat to be a place that helps people get better, to become useful, caring and productive members of our community. And finally, I do want to make it clear, we are not a detox. Our program is not for people who have mental health issues. There are much more suitable facilities available to them. The Sydney Retreat is a spiritual recovery centre. It will be a place where people just like me who have an addiction to alcohol and/or drugs can turn their life around. I believe I've had a very fortunate life for which I am very grateful. The Sydney Retreat will be a place where men and women have an opportunity to create that experience. One last sentence, and not only change their own lives, but also the lives of those around them by being more responsible, loving and caring husbands, wives, fathers, mothers and neighbours. Thank you very much. Questions?
You were shown the your side was talking. Maintain the courtesy. I want you to maintain the same courtesy that was maintained before. Thank you. Question, Mr. Stapleton.
There's several speakers have accused you of being a commercial venture. Could you just briefly respond to that?
We are a not-for-profit charity. As one of our directors said, we are not-for-profit, but we don't intend to be a for-loss company. So basically, we will not be receiving any money from health funds.
Can you press the button?
Well, I'm sorry, I'll start again. Yes, we were charging people fees to cover our costs, basically our operational costs, but we are a not-for-profit charity with the proper taxation charitable status.
Thank you.
Okay, one more question. For the sort of thing you're proposing here, is there any government licensing or council licensing involved, or can anyone run such a house as you propose?
I'm not really sure on the answer.
The answer must be no as far as you're concerned.
The answer is no as far as I'm concerned. Thank you. Yes.
Anything further? Thank you, Mr. Malone. Dr. Stephen Jurd, also from Steps Retreat.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Panel, ladies and gentlemen, my name's Stephen Jurd. I'm the chairman of the board of the Sydney Retreat. Sydney Retreat is an idea that has arisen out of my 34 years of research and practice as an addiction psychiatrist. With few exceptions, the people who achieve long-term recovery are the people who embrace the AA way of life. The central idea of the whole concept is that doing good things makes you feel better. Being part of a recovery community is protective, providing guidance to individuals embracing change. A variety of methods have been used to prevent relapse over the years, but AA is the staple. To remain true to our mission to assist alcoholics to recover, we have no profit motive. We are a not-for-profit charitable body with tax-deductible status. There are 18 AA and NA meetings a week within 2 kilometres of Stanmore, 31 within 3 kilometres. These meetings emanate peace and recovery. AA contributes to the community. We plan to do the same. We are not AA, but we wish to help people to join and become good AA members. AA members eagerly assist those who want to get well. Our guests will be competent adults voluntarily staying with us to learn the 12-step principles which will maintain their long-term recovery. For their one-month program, our guests will stay on site, only leaving the premises escorted. Alcoholics come from all walks of life. About 10% of all Australians suffer from this illness. There are, of course, those few who have lost all, but most sufferers have resources. I've treated barristers and judges, doctors and dentists and architects. The people who are guests at the Sydney retreat will reflect that diversity, but with more of those who can afford to pay a fee that will allow us to operate independently of government support. I've seen this process firsthand on two occasions in Minneapolis. They are confident, as I am, that we can replicate their success and help people onto a path that will allow them to become the best people that they can possibly be. They have created and are sharing simple systems with us so we can provide help to those who can benefit and to exclude those who need hospital or detox. We have a spiritual commitment to contribute to this community. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. I'd like to ask some questions.
Yes, there's a question for you, Doctor. Question from Mrs. Taylor.
Thank you. Some of the residents are concerned that there is a lack of medical supervision at this facility. What do you say about that?
I say that's the point. This is a facility for people who do not need medical care. This is a facility...
Just one moment, please. Thank you, Doctor.
This is a facility for people who would otherwise be resident in a similar non-medical facility or be resident at home, in their homes. They're for voluntary adult Australians.
And, Doctor, there are other facilities in New South Wales that do provide this service. Are you aware of those?
There are others who provide not the identical but analogous services, yes.
Thank you.
So places like Foundation House, that's already been mentioned, which was modelled on the upon Phoenix Unit, which started in Manly, which I directed.
Thank you.
Doctor, do you have a planner or an architect with you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the next
not today.
A planner.
A planner. Yes. That's the next person, Mr. Yes. Crampton, is it?
I'm wondering. I haven't finished asking questions.
Oh, Mrs. Taylor hasn't finished with you yet.
Oh, okay.
Just sit down, Doctor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The concern has been expressed by the community that the stage at which you take in your residents, they will not have properly recovered from their toxic state. What do you say about that?
I say that we are much more invested in making sure that that is done properly than can be the neighbours. These people will be in our facility. And we are following in the footsteps of people who've developed processes that allow that to happen. So people will have completed their detox before they arrive in the facility.
And how will you ascertain that? What is the test?
We'll take histories from people, we will engage with their carers as necessary, and we will observe people. If they do have them, we will engage with their medical advisors, yes.
The concern that people have, they have a fear that these people will bring unsafe situations and the neighbourhood. What do you say about that?
That's why I made reference to the 31 AA and NA meetings in the community. That is, the test's already been run. So that there are a lot of recovered alcoholics and addicts in that community right now. They do cluster together in meetings. There are no bad results as a result of that. If you ask the police, they'll tell you that AA meetings are not where the trouble points are.
The concern too is about people who are discharged because they don't meet the rules.
Yes.
What happens to them when they leave your premises?
We will engage with them to ensure that they end up in the best possible situation, so that we'll, as necessary, get them a cab, walk them down to the station, like anyone would if somebody was leaving their house as an unwelcome guest.
Somebody has said that delivering people to some of the local railway stations is to deliver them into an area where drugs are freely available. What do you say about that?
I'd say Australia is a place where drugs are freely available, sadly.
And so then there's a concern about when people leave your facility during the program, that you say they are supervised. What does that mean?
That means they'll be with a staff member.
Is that every occasion?
Yes.
What about if they go out with their family?
We will engage with the people who are coming into the facility to say that they won't be doing that. That in general they'll be staying on the premises.
So they either stay on the premises, or when they leave, you have somebody leave with them.
Yes.
To supervise them.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And everybody has to sign up to this program?
Yes.
You haven't run one of these facilities in Australia before?
Not an identical one, but an analogous one, yes.
Thank you. There's a concern about smoking. Have you got a rule about smoking?
As I understand it, we will not be forbidding smoking amongst the residents, and so therefore there will be a smoking area outside.
And will that in any way affect the people living next door? Will it be in close proximity to people next door? Have you thought about where it's going to be?
Yes, I've thought about where it's going to be. It would probably be in the front yard. We would have it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, it's a matter of courtesy. You got courtesy. Allow this person to converse with us in a courteous circumstance.
It sounds like we should make it equidistant between our two neighbours.
Thank you very much. In relation to the concern expressed, how about complaints will be handled? What do you say about that?
I would say that we will develop a more detailed complaints process.
How do I contact you if I've got a complaint?
How do you contact me personally?
Well, who do you want me to contact?
Our CEO.
Yes, and how do I know who he is and where to find him?
Well, we'll have a website. We do have a website, and the contact number of the facility will be on that website.
And were you planning to make a contact with the neighbours by letter drop or any other means?
I'd be happy to be guided as to what's the appropriate way to engage with our neighbours.
Who do you expect to guide you?
I think Mr. Crampton will probably be helpful in that regard.
And who is he?
He's our town planner.
Right, thank you very much. What was your plan of management based on? How did you come up with those rules?
So that we're following closely the processes that have been evolved at the retreat in Minneapolis. And that have been replicated in 11 other places, including New Zealand.
Thank you. My name is Adam Crampton. I'm the town planner for the applicant. Since its initial construction in 1882, the subject building has been used as a private residence, a boarding house, a private school, and even for industrial purposes in the late 1920s. Along with these changing uses, there have been various modifications and alterations along the way, most recently in the 1980s and early 2000s. We see this proposal as the next page in the history of the building, and I make this point so as to highlight the overall context within which decisions around the use of the building and the building fabric should be made. We appreciate the staff recommendation for approval and the efforts made to have this matter determined prior to Christmas. We do, however, feel that in this instance there is no need for the approval to be issued as a deferred commencement. Myself and Dr. Hannah, our heritage consultant, will elaborate on the reasons why, with these reasons having been outlined in our earlier summary to the panel. Central to this request are previous Land and Environment Court decisions around deferred commencement, where it has been held that a deferred commencement condition should not defer consideration of a relevant matter to a later time. In this case, the proponent has agreed to most of these conditions as part of an operative consent, with compliance not requiring any third-party involvement. We would respectfully put that the deferred commencement conditions 1, 2, 5 and 6 could be dealt with in this manner. As to condition 3, we would argue that 3A, requiring the replacement of the existing front fence, is beyond that which is considered and allowed for within the LEP and the DCP. The primary aim within these documents is conservation as opposed to compulsory replacement of heritage items or values. Our submission to Council dated October 12th addressed this matter in some detail, highlighting the point that the only mention within DCP Part 8 of seeking to reconstruct referred to items such as missing architectural details or finials or barge boards. A front fence not considered in this vein. Further points for consideration, following on from the site inspection this morning, include the cost of the fence, which will be between $35,000 to $50,000, the required vegetation removal, and the fact that the site is still able to be viewed from the street owing to the gate entry and the wide driveway opening. The requirement to replace part of the front flooring will be discussed further by Dr. Hanna. As Dr. Hanna will also point out, any works which may be required by the proposal to the internal stairs can be carried out so as to be temporary and therefore not impacting on the heritage value of the building into the future. Condition 4, we believe, is able to be removed as the residents of the property will not be permitted to have their own vehicles on site. Given the Council's justification for these spaces stemmed from the DCP requirement for 2 accessible rooms, we feel the fact that none of these people will be permitted to have vehicles on site negates this requirement. Thank you.
There are some questions. I'll start with the right. Mr. Stapleton.
Is it proposed to have a vehicle gate? I can't see any on the plan.
There's nothing proposed in regard to having a gate to restrict vehicular access, no.
So you're proposed just to have an open, just a hole in the fence there?
As it currently is. That's correct.
Now, on the plans, there's you're going to keep the existing east fence.
The fence.
The existing east fence.
That's correct. Yes.
What is that fence?
I'm sorry. What?
What is that fence?
What's the construction?
Yes.
Brick fence. Thank you.
For the whole length.
We have no intention of altering that, no.
What is the fence? Do you know?
Oh, sorry, what is the construction for the entire length?
You said brick fence, and I asked for the entire length. Is it a brick fence for the entire length?
On the eastern side, I can't recall if it's the entire length.
And do you know what height it is?
No, it's... I would approximate around 5 to 6 feet. And I note that the majority of the area that we've been looking at has been obstructed by the existing vegetation on the site.
Yes, I know it's not immediately obvious.
Yes.
Because I didn't observe it myself.
Yes.
You would not be adverse to making that a 1.8 high metre fence?
No.
If some of it was not that high?
No, we'd have no objection to that.
Thanks. Proposed development was accompanied by a reasonably skimpy BCA report, and there are a number of things in there which we don't know where they're going. For instance, the requirement to have fire-rated ceilings, and yet there's no definite proposal. Will that destroy the any heritage ceilings that are in there? That appears on our site inspection, appeared to get to the bottom of that. But there's also things like the replacing the doors with solid core doors. So I'm wondering whether you can tell us whether you've got a fire strategy for the heritage building.
Well, we had a BCA. We had a BCA assessment carried out, and that formed part of our application package. You're right. We did, obviously, given the class of the building, and look, I'm not a BCA expert, but given the class of the building with the proposed use, one of the requirements of the BCAs, we achieve fire separation, particularly between the stories. And as you point out, that would require some work to the ceiling of the ground floor of the building, which we would propose to do. Now, one of the questions that was raised by council during the assessment of the application was whether that ceiling on the ground floor had heritage value, and I believe that that question was resolved during the site inspection. So therefore, the BCA report stated that there were two primary options which could be considered to achieve that fire separation. One was to put a ceiling below the existing ceiling, which would achieve the adequate fire resistance level and therefore provide the separation. Or the second one was to incorporate an intumescent paint coat to the ceiling, which should have the same effect. In relation, as you said, in relation to doorways and whatnot, well, as part of the BCA required separation of rooms, they would also have solid core doors fixed, and then the appropriate light, emergency lighting and exits would be incorporated within the refit for the building. I hope that answers your question.
The deliveries to the site, you've got two car spaces, but as some of the submitters have mentioned, there will be food deliveries and linen deliveries regularly there. Are those vans going to park across the curb, or how's that going to be handled?
Well, in relation to the laundry, that would be a high-ace van, something similar to that, as you'd have in any sort of circumstance there. As we all know, it's an area which is quite where parking is at a premium. We would anticipate that we'd have sufficient room within the front setback to allow for that delivery to occur. As I said in my presentation, despite the fact we've got this number of people living there, one of the specific rules for them is that they cannot have their own vehicle. So for the 20-odd people there, we'll have a maximum of two cars, and that should be enough to facilitate people making deliveries either parking on the street
or
within the site.
Who would park in those car spaces?
Staff.
So where does the delivery van go?
Well, they could come in to the site and park behind those vehicles. The council report has suggested that council staff are satisfied with stacked parking for those spaces, and there should be sufficient area.
Well, there isn't. The kitchen has no back door, no indication of how the ventilation works, or how the waste is removed. Isn't that a bit naive?
Sorry, the waste, as in...
You've got a commercial kitchen in the back corner with no windows, only one entrance through the dining room. And there's no evidence of how the mechanical ventilation will work. Is that not been fully worked out?
I believe that was, if you give me one moment, that was a question that was put to us by council during the assessment period, and we agreed to the installation of an exhaust system. Thank you. We agreed to the installation of an exhaust system within the kitchen.
Shown on the roof plan.
It'd be as a condition of consent. We agreed to that.
Would I be right to say it's not there?
On the plans?
In the conditions.
I did not check whether that condition is there, I'm sorry. As I said, it was correspondence between us and the council a little while ago, and we agreed to that being... we had no objection to that being provided.
There's one of the submitters suggested there was at least one window which was directly above the neighbour with zero... zero setback from the boundary. That would be the window in shared bedroom 6.
Sorry, I'm just looking at that. Shared bedroom. Yeah, that's, which I believe is an existing window.
Yes. Would you be happy to have that closed in some way as a condition of approval?
Yes, we'd be happy to do that, provided that will obviously just require ventilation and lighting to be achieved by another means, but we have no objection to that.
With the BCR, your BCR report talks about the principle of a, if I can find it, of an affected travel path, the principal pedestrian entrance can be taken to be the ramps you put beside the car spaces.
Mm.
That doesn't easily connect with any pedestrian entrance from the street, so would you be happy to have another pedestrian gate in the front wall so that this would avoid having a ramp at the old front door?
So you'd be saying between the existing driveway and the existing pedestrian gate to install
yes.
another gate?
Yes.
For the purpose of achieving...
Well, otherwise your certifier is going to say that the front door is the front door and you need a ramp.
I don't believe we'd have an objection. No, there'd be no objection to that as a condition. Thank you.
You'll see, we've thought about putting some conditions in about... other conditions in about addressing the BCA issues, such as not having to widen all the original doors to 850 and not having to have all the panel doors replaced with solid core doors. Can you see any problem with us suggesting those mechanisms? Well,
sorry, I'm not sure I understood the question.
BCA requirements might be read to say that you've got to replace all the internal doors with solid core doors,
mm-hmm.
and they've all got to be 850 clear wide.
Yes,
which they won't all be.
No,
and that we're thinking about imposing some conditions which will avoid that.
So, in other words, they would all have that required width.
No, that they wouldn't have to
yes.
be unnecessarily damaged by these BCA requirements. You see, when you change a use from residential
yes.
to something else, you bring down the BCA, on you.
Mm.
Now, I don't think this has been fully analysed in your application.
As I said, I can only speak to the report that was provided. Certainly, we're aware that council have concerns with... the destruction of any of the internal fabric of the building, and we've always tried to work with council
yes,
in that
they
regard.
They dealt with the ceilings, but they didn't deal with a number of other things.
Well, if there are appropriate conditions that would need to be put on, we would obviously accept those.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Hawke?
Should there be a suggestion that an addition to the plan of management be made, which included the establishment of some sort of local community liaison, how would STEPS feel about that?
I don't believe there'd be any objection. They're actually proposing to become a part of the community, so I don't believe there's any objection to that.
Thank you. Thank you. Mrs. Taylor?
About the conditions proposed by the council, I see there are 6 deferred commencement conditions and 86 others. Did you have any objection to any of those conditions, apart from the fact you thought they shouldn't be deferred?
No. I believe the summary that we provided yesterday through the council indicated the primary concern was the deferred commencement conditions. And flowing on from that, there are, I think, about 2 other conditions within the document that would necessarily be amended, but that was all.
Thank you. One of those deferred commencement conditions is about that you have to provide 2 accessible car parking spaces. I take it you've got no objection to doing so?
No, we are asking that that be removed. This is because, as we've said, the residents who will be living on the site will be prohibited from having their own vehicle. So therefore, for the 20 people who would be living there, there would be no cars. The requirement for that two spaces was based on a council interpretation from the DCP requiring two accessible rooms to be provided for the proposal. So council extrapolated that to being to including two accessible parking spaces. But given that the people who will be occupying those rooms will be prohibited from having their own vehicles on site, we saw no need for that to be the case.
So is it part of your agreement with your residents that not only will they not have a car parking on site, but they will not be allowed to bring a car to the area?
Correct. That's correct, yes.
Are you able to do that?
Yes, that's right.
So you'd agree to that condition?
Absolutely.
Thank you. The leaving of the site by the any of your residents, it's a condition of this consent as well as part of your plan of management, that they'll only leave under the supervision of a staff member. That is going to be made perfectly clear.
Absolutely, yes.
And so your people have to sign up to that rule?
Yes.
Thank you. And then another of the deferred commencement conditions is that there must be an emergency management plan.
Yes.
What will go in an emergency management plan?
My experience of these type of facilities is that an emergency management plan will typically relate to issues such as an instance of fire in the building or any structural element, any structural failure in the building, and if there is any other sort of more public disturbance, either internal or external to the site. Absolutely, yes. We've done so before on other sites, and we'd be happy to work with council to do that in the same way as we did with the plan of management.
Thank you. And you say we've had experience. Do you mean you?
I'm sorry, my firm. Yes, yes. Sorry.
You've assisted with the plan of management.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Nothing further. Thank you.
Anything further? No. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Crampton. Dr. Bronwyn Hannah.
Thanks. Okay, so I'm my name's Roman Hannah, and I'm an architectural historian, and I wrote the heritage impact statement that goes along with this development application. And I'm involved because I have several close friends who have greatly benefited from their involvement with AA. And so my involvement's largely pro bono, and I'm interested in seeing what I think is a really important initiative have a successful outcome. I was going to just talk about a couple of things. The fact that the heritage listing for this place really emphasises that it's actually not listed in its own right. It's listed as one of four houses. It was originally listed by the National Trust in the 1980s from what I think was a survey from outside. It was listed because of external appearance, not because it was internally intact. Even in the 1980s when it was listed, it had already had significant interior changes. And that's documented, I think, in my report as well as apparent in the material of the interior fabric. This relates to the fact that some of the conditions we do actually question some of the conditions that have been put on by council. And the four conditions that we're concerned about are firstly that the fabric of the front fence should be removed. We very strongly would prefer to keep the front fence, the brick fence that faces on Trafalgar Street. That was there when the house was listed in the 1980s. It was bought by the Sydney Retreat with the front fence intact. It's important to the Sydney Retreat that the front fence provides some level of anonymity. It also prevents a little bit of the noise from the trains across the road coming in. This is a meant to be a quiet retreat based on the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous, and anonymity is an important part of the proposal that would be at risk if the front fence is required to be replaced by an open palisade fence. Second thing is that we query about the conditions is that changes to the interiors. We would like to meet the BCA requirement of making sure that the ceilings are fire rated, and that means removing the ceilings that are currently there, which three heritage experts agree are not original ceilings but are actually replacement ceilings probably put there in the 1980s. We would like to replace those, do our fire ratings and put them back up with the same appearance. The other condition that we would like to keep to is that we would like to is that the balustrade, the council is saying that we need to keep the original timber staircase in its exact current form. That doesn't meet BCA requirements. That poses a risk to residents. If there's a need for emergency egress, people could hurt themselves. So we would like to make sure the balustrade is included, that an extra balustrade is included over the current balustrade to ensure that that's safe. And this is a reversible thing, and it's a normal heritage standard response to a common problem. The one other issue is that council has requested us to dig out the concrete floor that's been put into the hallway at the entrance. The concrete floor is stable, it's dry, and it's intact. We don't like it, but we think that digging it out will actually cause more damage to the heritage fabric of the house than leaving it there. So we would prefer to keep it as well. So we'd like to contradict that condition of consent as well.
Thank you.
Questions? I've got one question. Where does it actually say in the application that the or the council officer's report that the balustrades to the stair have to be changed?
I'm sorry, I can't tell offhand.
Thank you. There is a condition in the consent that I think it's 77. No, thank you. So condition 55. To see. So what we're proposing is that in order to comply with the BCA requirements, a temporary height be added to the balustrade, which can be removed if the use of the building ever changes again, and stair nosings to be provided.
Thank you. I'll deal with that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Jerd, could you come back for a moment? Mrs. Taylor.
Dr. Jerd, I'm sorry, I meant to ask this before and overlooked. The residents complain that this is a noisy area and refers to the fact the closeness of the railways and, of course, the planes going overhead. I wondered what you thought about that in relation to your program.
It's gone off. Of course, that's not ideal for interpersonal communication. That does represent a problem. The countervailing issue is that, like I said, that there's a network of AA meetings around there that would allow good engagement with a 12-step fellowship.
Concerned by the residents that there's more than one person per bedroom.
Oh, okay. Am I permitted to tell a story? It involves Betty Ford.
Answer how you wish.
Yeah, okay, thank you. So when Betty Ford was admitted to San Diego Naval Hospital, she was the security guards came into the four-bedded room in which she was allocated, and they said, her and her and her will be out of here. Thanks very much, staff. Could you organise that? And Betty Ford couldn't bring herself to do that, couldn't bring herself to move the other people out of the room just because she was there. She found that she engaged in a very strong bond with those women, and that allowed her to get through that period of recovery, and that those relationships were really important to her. So when Betty Ford itself was built, there were no single rooms in that hospital. And I believe the standard is that shared rooms are better than single ones.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Jerd. Finally, Helen McFarland.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and panel members. I'm the solicitor for the applicant. Honourable Chair, I understand I need your permission to address this panel, and I request that permission just to address on a few legal issues.
Any particular issue?
I think I'd assist the panel in relation to the issue concerning the infrastructure SEP. There was a concern raised by one of the residents in relation to Clause 87, and that would not be able to be satisfied if consent was granted, and therefore the panel couldn't grant consent.
We should hear you on
that. It relates to the issue of the consideration of noise and the noise levels in relation to the bedrooms, and it provides that the consent authority has to be satisfied that a level of 35 dBA can be satisfied. An acoustic report was lodged and submitted with the development application by Acoustic Logic, and that undertook an analysis of the provisions of the infrastructure SEF, the noise readings, and made some recommendations, and that included that glazing be applied to the windows. In the recommended conditions, condition one, it indicates that the development should be carried out in accordance not just with the plans, but also in accordance with the report by Acoustic Logic. So that's referred to in condition one. Also, two, condition 55, refers to the need for noise abatement measures to be carried out, and also submitted plans.
What was that second number?
Honourable Chair, 55B.
Thank you.
So that relates to noise abatement measures, but also in the context of heritage, and it does require plans to be submitted to the council. So that issue is addressed about the noise abatement measures. And it also comes back to Mrs. Taylor's last question about the issue of noise for residents attending the facility and the concern that has been expressed by residents about noise from the train and noise from planes. Because of the infrastructure SEP provision, we've actually had to address this, and to some degree the residents may be better served than some of the residents here today who have expressed concern how they suffer from plane noise and train noise. So that is something that has been clearly and squarely assessed as part of the development application process, and conditions have been imposed and recommended, and we take no issue with those conditions that I've referred to.
Ms. McFarlane, there's no acoustic plans referred to in condition one, is there?
There is, Honourable Chair, there's condition one has a table that refers to the plans, and at the second last document referred to is the acoustic assessment by Acoustic Logic. It's referred to in the table.
Not in mine.
No.
Not in ours.
There's a missing page.
Oh, this is the missing page.
Oh, wrong.
Yes, we understand where it's gone. All right, thank you. We found it. Thank you, Mr. Fallon. Yes, Mrs. Taylor.
Is the purpose of the noise abatement works to keep the noise out from the residents, or to keep the noise of the residents from disturbing the neighbourhood?
I think it would serve both purposes.
Thank you. Nothing further.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I might have one more thing.
Oh, there's one more question.
It might be not you to answer, but to your colleagues to answer. Where is it in the on the proposed conditions that we are asking you to replace the front, the floor to the front hall?
That's in, I think, condition 72B. I'll have to... Yes, 72B, Mr. Stapleton. It's reinstatement of the timber floor in the front entry hallway of the main building at ground floor level to original detail.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That completes the presentations that are to be made. The panel will just confer for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we've spent some considerable time, as you might appreciate. It's generally expected that the panel will make its determination right here and now. There have been a number of issues raised this afternoon been discussed not only with the people who wish to make submissions against the proposed development, but all those also clarification that's been had with those who are supporting the development. The panel will need some time to make the final determination and collate its decision into a proper and sensible order. Accordingly, I propose to defer the determination until after we have dealt with the other matters on the agenda, and to make it absolutely clear so that we are given adequate time, we will determine the matter this afternoon. I'm not able to predict when that will be, and the arrangements will be made for the final determination of matter number one before the panel today to be published on the website tomorrow. So the matter is now adjourned, and do we want to take a toilet stop? No. So we're now moving on to the rest of the agenda. Beg your pardon? No, we can't predict when that'll be. All I can predict is it'll be on the website tomorrow. I'm not in charge of the website. You want? Yeah, thanks very much. Now, item two, I've lost my notes now. Just keep calm for a minute. Item two's got no one speaking. I've even lost my glasses. I'll just wait till those people get out. There's no one listed. Well, we decided not to for our own convenience. Have you got a problem? Sorry?
No.
Well, I don't think you're expected to hit them straight away, are you? Yes, that's what I mean, but... How long do you want? Why don't we just get on with it, and if it doesn't come up, well... It'll just be a question of timing, won't it? Well, I will have said it.
Yeah. Do you remember the name?
I think so. Oh, which one? You haven't done it. Oh, I see.
So how long's it going to take you to...
Yeah. Well, it's got a few seconds you're talking about. Righto, one, two, three. There's 3 seconds. Why aren't we doing it? Is it item number two?
I'll tell you what, I might duck into the next door and just chuck it on a separate.
And why don't we just power on?
Yeah.
Okay, don't worry about it. Calling number item number two, which relates to the alterations and additions to an existing dwelling at 181 Annandale Street, Annandale. The panel has decided the proposed alterations and additions. There's no one listed to speak. We don't get any written. Yes, you want to talk us out of it, do you? The alterations and additions are considered to retain the existing heritage significance of the dwelling and its contribution to the streetscape and not result in significant adverse amenity impacts for surrounding properties. The application, therefore, will be approved subject to the recommended conditions. There's just something else I'd just like to say, that the public interest is best served by the consistent application of the requirements of the relevant instruments and by the council ensuring that any adverse effects on the surrounding area and the environment are appropriately managed, and therefore in this case the proposal is not contrary to the public interest. And just for the purposes of conferring just exactly what we're doing, the actual conclusion and recommendation made at page 117 is adopted by the panel. The proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained.
Chairman, I've got one condition to suggest.
In this matter?
Yep.
Yes, all right. In the LEP and the development control plan, it will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises and the streetscape, and is suitable for approval. The panel, exercising the functions of council as consent authority pursuant to clause 4.16 of the EPNA Act, grant consent to DAD 2018272 for alterations and additions to an existing dwelling, new roof, barbecue area and associated works, including a driveway, fence works and tree removals at 181 Annandale Street, Annandale, subject to the conditions that are listed in the report and our attachment A, and the further condition that Mr. Stapleton will now indicate.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to suggest that the proposed new floor within the existing rear wing be required to be timber framed in lieu of concrete, as noted.
The applicant got anything to say about that? There's a microphone up there, please. Identify yourself and respond to Mr. Stapleton.
So Chris Davis, 181 Annandale Street, one of the applicants. So just to be clear, the current proposal has, within the existing rear wing, has proposed timber floor, and on the other side we've proposed a slab. Are you proposing additional?
The note on the drawing says new timber floor on concrete.
Oh, okay.
So that sounds like a floating floor on concrete. Not a good idea in the rear back wing of a heritage house.
So
rising damp.
Okay. It might be a notation area because of the intention was in the original rear wing that we replaced the existing timber floor, and in the new extension area where we're infilling the L, that would have been a concrete floor with floating timber floor.
Yes, I think it is a notation area.
Yeah.
There is a note there on the old wing side, but it doesn't point to the floor.
Okay.
There's a note that does point to the floor, which says concrete. So you wouldn't object if we just clarify that in the condition?
No, not at all.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll clarify that in the condition number. What was the number again?
Well,
it's actually in the plan.
It's in the plan. I think that's one of the first conditions.
It'll be condition. Condition one after the table.
We could add, Mr. Chairman, the new floor proposed in the original rear wing of the place
building
is to be timber framed, suspended timber framed.
I just want to clarify. The original rear wing, I mean, there's the original rear wing and the extension. The original rear wing, are you saying that that should be a timber frame floor?
Yes.
The extension,